Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins more than halfway down Daf Ches. If you prefer, you can count 20 lines up from the bottom of the Daf. You'll notice there's two dots in the middle of the line. Before we begin the actual Gemara, which begins with the words Amar Rebbe Elazar, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, which reads as follows. Dino Shel Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elazar's law. Hiskachi li bimona. Man proposes marriage to a woman, and he says, be married to me in exchange for a mona. Mona is a sum of money. If you prefer, we can say $100. Venosan law dinner. And he gives her a dinner. A dinner is a much smaller piece of currency than a mona. And he gives her so partial payment. Hainu rakhilek mimona. It's just a part of the mona. Hare zu mikudeshes miyad viashlim. As far as Rebbe Elazar is concerned, the marriage takes place immediately, and he is simply obligated to complete the amount. We now turn to the Gemara text. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Hiskachi li b'mona. Man proposes marriage to a wife in exchange for a mona. V'nosan lo dinar, and he gives her partial payment, a dinar. Harezu mikudeshes, she is immediately married, v'yashlim, and he's obligated to complete the amount. My taima, why is it that you say she's immediately married before she's received the full amount? Kevan diomar lo mona v'yohav lo dinar. Since he said, I was going to give you a mona, he mentioned in exchange for a mona, I want you to be married, and he did give her partial payment. Keman diomar lo, it's as if he said to her, almenas domi. It's as if he said to her, be married to me on condition that I give you a mona. And when the expression of almenas appears or is used in a marriage proposal, the Omar of Hunamarav, Kolo Omer almenas, anyone who says that on condition that, Ke Omer me'ach shov domi. It's as if they're saying, from right now, I'm marrying you from right now. Meisvei. We raise an objection. You'll notice we have a house shape highlighting what we've written in between the lines, the word resha, and on the second wide line, a house marking around seifa. So you have a beginning and end of a particular Tanaic source. So the question is raised from the following. Meisvei. Hiskachi li b'mona. A man proposed marriage to a woman in exchange for a mona, v'hoyamoyne v'hoylech, and he started counting out money to her. V'rotza echo mem lachzor, and one of them wanted to back out. Afilu b'dinar achron, even up till the last dinner, harishus biyado, they have a right to back out. In other words, you don't have an immediate marriage. If there was an immediate marriage, you would need a divorce. So what we see from here is that the kiddushin, the marriage, doesn't take hold until the entire amount is received. That's a problem for Rebbe Elazar. The triangle highlights one of two answers. We have a triangle one, number one over here, and you can see Rav Ashi four lines up from the bottom, and number two, and on the side of the Gemara, we've indicated these are two tshuvas ala kushya, two responses to the question, Shiksha Gemara, Rebbe Elazar Me'abraisa, that the Gemara is raising from this Tanaic source on Rebbe Elazar. So what does the Gemara answer? Hocha b'mayaskinan, in the source that indicated the marriage is not immediate, rather until the entire amount is paid out, Diomar b'mona zu. In other words, he said to her, be married to me with this mona. And simply by saying this mona, Rashi explains, her mind is on the entire amount. You've focused her mind and created anticipation on her part of receiving the whole amount before the marriage would take place. The Gemara asks, Hami de Seifa b'monazu, Reisha b'monastam, Tikotoni Seifa. How can you say that the Reisha is talking about a case of monazu, a specific mona, this 100, when that's the topic of the Seifa? That point, that example is mentioned in the latter part of the Tanaic source, which would indicate then that the Reisha, the first part, is not that. So you can't use this as an answer. What does it say in the Seifa? Omar law, the Katoni Seifa, Omar law, his kachi li b'monazu. Man says to a woman, be married to me with this mona. V'nimtza mona chaser dinar. And it turns out that it's not a complete mona. It's a mona minus a dinar. Oh, dinar shel nechoshes. Or she discovers in the mona, which is, let's say, it's, we said before, it's a large sum. There are numerous dinarim in a mona, and she discovers in the mona that she's received a copper dinar. A copper dinar is not what she anticipated. A dinar is a silver coin. Eino mikudeshes. So if she finds it to be an amount less than a mona, or she finds a dinar shel nechoshes, it's not a marriage because it doesn't conform to what he actually proposed. Dinar ra, if it turns out that there's a dinar ra, the Gemara will explain that later. Literally, it means a bad dinar. Hare zu mekudeshes viachlif. The marriage takes hold, but he should exchange it. Well, the question is raised, though, how can you answer that the ratio is talking about mona zu when mona zu is the example that you see in the Seifa? So the Gemara responds, lo. The fact that the Seifa has mona zu is not to the exclusion of the ratio. Ratio of his Seifa, the Omar b'mona zu, both the ratio and the Seifa, the beginning and end of this Tanaic source, is limited to the case of mona zu. Upirushe komaforshin. The way to understand the relationship between the Reisha and the Seifa is that the Seifa, pirushe means explains, the Seifa explains the Reisha as follows. The Reisha had said his kachili b'mona v'yamoyne v'hoylech, and the Seifa goes on to would say rotze echobim lachzor afil b'dino achron or juz biado ketzad, if one wants to back out, they can do so up to the last dinar. And how is that to be understood? What are the circumstances? Kagon diomar law b'monazu, where the initial marriage proposal was monazu. However, if he didn't say zu, he just said his kachili b'mona, so then Rebbe Lozer's din applies, that as soon as he gives her the first dinar, the marriage is a done deal, is clinched. V'hachinami mistabra, and this explanation of the Reisha Seifa, the Pirushe Komaforesh explanation, is most likely. If you were to think that the Reisha is in fact where he says a mona, not this mona. Well, hashta b'mona stam lo havu kedushi, where he didn't specify a mona, and there's room to think that she would be interested in the marriage being clinched immediately, and still you tell me that they can back out till the end. B'mona zu mibaya, would there be any need to tell me about the case of mona zu? The continuation, the Seifa, would be anticlimactic. It would be obvious. As Rashi says, Hashta b'mona stam tono le dichoim lachzor calls man shelo kiblas kula. If in a case of mona stam where he didn't specify this money, just said a mona, and you're telling me that they could back out till the very end, till the complete payment, b'mona zu v'nimtza chaser dinar, where the seifa teaches he proposed marriage by saying mona zu, and it turns out that she doesn't get the full amount. It's that a dinar is missing. The hashta lo kiblo kula mibaya the motzi hadra. Do I need to tell you that she can back out? That's obvious. The Gemara responds to that, to the last claim of hochi nami mistabra, to justify the Reisha as being a case of Monazu, because the Seifa spoke about Monazu and otherwise it would have been anticlimactic. E mishum ha lo irya. If that's your proof, and that's what led you to say hochi nami mistabra, not so. That's not solid proof. Tona Seifa legluye Reisha. I can offer an alternative construction or presentation of the Reisha and Seifa as follows. That the Seifa was taught in order to shed light on the Reisha. In other words, the Seifa spoke about a case of Monazu so that I would conclude that in the Reisha it in fact is talking about Monastam. Shelo Tomar Reisha b'Monazu. You should not think that the Reisha is where he specified this Mona. Avo b'Monastam Havu Kedushin, but had he spoken in general terms, be married to me in exchange for a mona, that there would be Kedushin, so that you shouldn't say that. Tona Seifa b'Monazu, the Seifa specified the case of Monazu, Michlal de Reisha b'Monastam, so that I can infer that the Reisha was talking about a case of Mona Stam, a general mona. The Afilu Hachi lo Havu Kedushin. And even so, there wouldn't be Kedushin until the full amount is paid. And if we leave things at that, so then it appears that Rebbe Lozer's din would not be on, it certainly would not be able to be, let's say, supported by this source. If anything, the source would present a problem for Rebbe Lozer. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi is a second explanation or a second defense of Rabbi Lozer from the question that was raised on him from the Reisha. Rav Ashi Omar, Moine v'hoylech shayni. In the Reisha, where it said v'hoya Moine v'hoylech, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow that you see above. In the Reisha, we saw that he was counting out money to her. So Rav Ashi says, even though he proposed marriage to her saying Mona, without saying Mona Zu necessarily, but he started counting out. She sees him counting out the money. One dinar, two dinars, three dinars, leading up to a Mona. So when you do that, when you're Moine v'Hoylech, that's shiny, that's different. The Daita Akule there, her mind is in fact drawn to the full amount. In other words, she wouldn't agree to marriage until she gets everything that he's counting out, the full mona. But if he wasn't counting it out, he simply said, be married to me for a mona, and he gives her one dinar, and she accepts it, we can assume that she's accepting it as agreeing to marriage right now, with the condition that he will eventually give her the full amount. Above, we made mention of a dinar shel nechoshes. We have to the left-hand side of the Gemara text an arrow, which you can align with the arrow that you see further up, where this quote is coming from. In the source, it had said, be married to me for with this mona, and it turned out that there was a dinar shel nechoshes. So the Gemara asks here, hi dinar shel nechoshes, hechi domi. The source taught that she would not be married. Well, what are the circumstances? E de yada bay, if she was aware of its presence and she accepted it anyway, ha sovra v'kibla, she understood and accepted. Why would the source say that she's not married? Lo tzricha. The source is necessary to tell me the din, the law, under the following circumstances. Diave nihalei belela. He had given it to her at night, in darkness. She didn't see. Inami da ashtakach le beini zuzi. She found it amongst the coins. Rashi says, Dishtakach beini zuzi velo hikira bo mitchila shemu'urov beinehem. He had given her the mona is made of numerous dinarim. So he had given her a number of dinarim, and amongst them was a dinar shel nechoshes, a copper dinar. And therefore she wasn't aware immediately. So to say, sofer v'kibla would not be accurate. Hai dinara hechidami. Here too we have an example from the source. You notice a star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. You can see where this quote is coming from above. What are the circumstances that surround the case of she found a dinar ra, leading to the halachic conclusion that she is married? So, hai dinar ra hechidomi, e delo nofik, if it's not expendable, hainu dinar shel nechoshes, then it should be no different than discovering a copper dinar. Why would she be married? If it's a dinar, a bad dinar that's not expendable, is not any better than a case of dinar shel nechoshes. Why then would she be married? Omar Rav Papa, kagon de nofik al yedei hadchat. Dinara is a type of coin. Maybe it's severely eroded, and hence people aren't so happy to take it in commercial transactions. Nevertheless, people will take it under pressing circumstances, so that it's good enough to be a part of the mona that he proposed. It is current, but though with difficulty. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. A man says to a woman, Hiskachi li b'mona, be married to me in exchange for a mona, but he doesn't give her the cash immediately. V'niach lo mashkon, he gives her collateral. That, we'll say, he gives her security. What does the halacha say there in the case of marriage? Omar Rova, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar lo hiskachi li b'mona, be married unto me in exchange for a mona, v'niach lo mashkon alea. And he gives her a security. Eino mekudeshes. She is not married. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Mono einkan. Mashkon einkan. The mona is not here. He's not giving her a mona. Therefore, the mashkon is of no value to her. The mashkon isn't being given to her as a gift. It's not something she is going to keep. Therefore, it's ineffective in creating the marriage. Esve Rova the Rav Nachman. Here we have a Tanaic source that says, Kitsha b'mashkon mekudeshes. If a man marries a woman with a mashkon, she is married. The Gemara answers, Hosam b'mashkon da'achirib. That is a case where the husband here, who is proposing marriage, had loaned money to others. Other people owed him money. They did not pay up their debt in the meantime. So in exchange, or as a result of their not as of yet paying up the debt, they give the lender, i.e. the husband here, they gave him collateral. The halacha recognizes that a man who extended a loan, and in exchange for the loan extended that has not yet been paid up in cash, and yes, a collateral was received, the halacha views the lender as owning the collateral. Suffice it to say that where the husband gives the mashkon to the wife, In effect, he's transferring ownership of that debt to her. In other words, she now is the one that is entitled to collect the debt. In the meantime, she has the mashkon, which stands in lieu of the payment. It's true that when the borrower, if the borrower comes up with cash, so the lender will give back the mashkon. But in the meantime, it's a mashkon that was received in exchange for a loan. That's different than the case that we saw at the bottom of Omer Aleph, Rava Omer Rav Nachman's case. So in a case like this, where it's a debt that's owed to the husband, and he is offering marriage to the wife in exchange for her being the owner of the debt, and he does so by giving her the mashkon, that works. And as we said, in a mashkon situation given to a lender, he is said to own the mashkon. Uchederebi Yitzchak, in accordance with Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching, the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin lebal chov shekeina mashkon, from where do we know that a lender who receives collateral, it's considered as if he is the owner of it? Shenemar ulechot yetzdoka. The Torah, in describing the laws concerning collateral, it says that when someone loans money and the borrower had offered collateral in the form of something that the borrower uses on an ongoing basis, the Torah instructs the lender, give the mashkon back to the borrower during the hours that he needs it. And your doing so will be viewed as an act of righteousness on your part. You are given tzedakah credit. Tzedakah, some people like to translate as charity credit. So it's as if you gave charity. Imeno kone, if the lender is not said to be the owner of it, tzedakah minayin, how can he receive charity credit for giving the borrower something that's not his, the lender's? And yet we say, the Torah says that by the lender giving the collateral back to the borrower for the hours of day that he needs it, mikan lebal chov shekeina mashkon, from here you see that the bal chov, the lender, actually is viewed as the owner of the mashkon. So when the husband gives her, the woman, this kind of mashkon, he is giving her something of his. So she is getting actual kesef kedushin. The Gemara continues, Bnei Rav Huna Bar Oven, Zavun Hahi Amso Befriti. The sons of Rav Huna sold a bondmaid in anticipation of receiving priti, in anticipation of receiving copper coins. Lo havu bahadayu. The purchasers didn't have copper coins. Osivi naska ole. They gave the owners, they gave the sons of Rav Huna, a silver bar as a mashkon, as security. Lasof Iker Amsa. And in the end, the value of the bondmaid went up. You can imagine the feeling of the sellers. They would love to have her back. She's worth more now. Asu l'kamei d'Rav Ami. The case was brought to Rav Ami, where the sellers wanted to call off the deal. In the meantime, they didn't receive the actual cash. They received only the naska security. So the case came to Rav Ami, Omar Lahu, and Rav Ami said, Priti Enkan, there was no money paid for her yet, therefore, naska Enkan. The silver bar that they received does not clinch the deal. And therefore, in fact, they get back their now more valuable bondmaid. As we look ahead in the Gemara, allow your eye to skim down. We always say that in Gemara markings, when you see a geometric form, let your eye move ahead and see where you see the next one or the next ones. In this case, you see quite a few diamonds. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, we've written, where you see the diamond highlighted, Sidra Shel Mekuros. We'll see a series of sources. Da'ish Matzia Kedushin B'mona O'Kikr U'tkuvos Shonos Shel Isha. Man presents to a woman mona, money, or a loaf of bread in exchange for marriage, and different reactions of the woman. The Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, Hiskashili B'mona. Be married to me with the mona, not blosso. She took the mona, the $100. V'zarkosin liyam odluur, oluchol dover ha'aved. And she threw it into the sea, into a fire, or any other destructive source. Eino mekudeshes, she's not married. We ask a question. We try to draw an inference. Ha shadisinu kamei. Had she not destroyed it, but rather took it from him and threw it right back to him? Havu kedushin. Are you suggesting then that that would be a marriage? Ha ka'omra le shokil lo boina. She is in fact indicating him, take it back, I don't want it. So why does the source teach only a case where that which he gave her was then thrown into the fire or some destructive means as a sign of non-marriage, when even without the destruction element she wouldn't be married? The Gemara answers, you're right. Lo mi baya ka'omar, the spirit of this source is in the lo mi baya fashion. Lo but maya means I don't have to tell you. Lo mi baya shadisinu kamei de lo havu kiddushin. It goes without saying that if she took the item and threw it right back at him, there's no marriage. Aval zokosu liyamo leur, if she took the item that was her kesef kiddushin, she took it and threw it to the sea or into the fire. Amo, I would have thought without the source, I would have thought Kevon de Mechaiva Bahu, since she's going to have to compensate him for it. He wasn't giving her a free gift. He was giving her something in exchange for her marriage. If she's not agreeing to get married, she's certainly going to have to compensate him for it. So, without the source, I would have thought, since she is going to otherwise have to pay for it if she doesn't agree to the marriage. Kiddushi Kodesh Nafsha. She decides then and there to agree to be married. Instead of having to pay for it, she agrees to the marriage. The Hadakov, the Hachi, and that which she did thusly, took the thing and threw it into the fire. Savra Ivtike Lahai Gavra. I'm going to use this as a means to check him out. Iras Chonahu Olo. Is he a man of wrath or not? So that without the source, I would have thought that she's actually going to be married, even though she threw it into the fire. Rashi, about halfway down, says, since she would otherwise have to pay for it, she concludes, I'm going to go ahead with the marriage. And since it becomes hers, so she threw it into the fire, into the sea, to check him out, to test him, to see whether he's a man of wrath. The Gemara therefore concludes with the word komash malon. The source tells me that that's not what's taking place, but rather, even if she throws it into the sea or into the fire, she is not married. And as we said before, it goes without saying where she takes the item given to her and throws it right back at him. She's certainly not married. Tonu Rabbanan, Hiskashili B'mona. Man says to woman, be married to me in exchange for the mona. And she says, Tnom La'aba L'Avicha. Give it to my father or to your father. Eino mekudeshes. From her reaction, she's not interested in keeping the money. She says, as we just read, give it to father or give it to your dad. The Seifa says, Almenas shiakablum li. After his saying to her, be married to me in exchange for the manup, she says, I'll be married to you on condition that they, Abba or Avicha, accept it on my behalf, accept it for me. Mikudeshes. In that case, she is married. The Gemara explains the necessity of each one of these examples. Tana Abba, the example of the woman's father, appears to show us how far the Resha goes in this source, where she said simply Tnom L'Abba, even though it's her own dad. It shows how far we go in the non-marriage. That's what lo diach hakoyach the reisha to us, the strength of the reisha, that even though she indicates to give the money, directs the money to her own father, that doesn't mean that she's agreeing to the marriage. The Gemara goes on, Tana Avicha, the source used the example of give it to your father, Lo diacha koyach de seifa, to show us how far we're going to go in the seifa, where she says, I'll be married on condition that your father accepts it, even though that's not her relative. Okay, it's going to be her father-in-law, but that's not the same thing. It's not her father, it's not her brother. But even so, since she stated, Almenas, I'll be married on condition that they accepted for me, even if it's not her own relative, she will be married. We have another case. Hiskashili b'mona, and she says, Tnom leploni, eino mekudeshes. Almenas shikablim li mekudeshes. Very similar to the case of an Abba Ravicha, the same format, same results. Utsricha, and I need to have both of these sections, the resha, that is the first part that spoke about Abba Vicha, the fathers, and the seifa that talks about a stranger, a ploni, some outsider. De'i Ashmin and Abba Vicha, had we not taught you the case of Tnom Laploni, had we taught only the case of Abba Vicha, Hosam Hu Dechiyom Ramanashi Kabuni Havu Kiddushin. In that case, where she said, on condition that they accept it for me, then that would be a marriage. The Samcha Daito Alayu, she relies on them. Savra, she figures, Avdin Li Shnichusoi. They will act in a capacity of agency for me. Aval Ploni, lo, some stranger, where she says, I'll be married to you on condition that so-and-so accepts it for me. She doesn't know whether that fellow, that stranger, will accept it on her, for her. So she doesn't have das, she doesn't have full agreement, psychological security in her, that her will be carried out, and hence I would have thought that that would not lead to a marriage. Therefore, I have to teach that even when it's ploni, and she says almanashi kabumli, that it constitutes a marriage. V'yashmin and ploni, had we taught only the case of ploni, hachahu dechiyomra tanam leploni lo havu kedushi. I would have thought that where she reacts simply by saying give it to so and so, there it's not a marriage. Delo mikruvadaita legabei lemeisvele b'matona. She's not close enough with the stranger, with the ploni, that she would have the intention of giving him a gift. And the tnum, give it, give it to him, in the case of a stranger, is simply an indication of her displeasure with the marriage, with her resistance to the marriage proposal. But his father, her father, that she has a feeling of kinship with him, then when she says, after his proposal, she simply says, "Tnom la'abar, tnom lavicha," she feels kinship with them, that represents a gift she is giving to them. In other words, she really is accepting the kiddushin from the husband, and she simply wants him to give them a gift from her. And simply put, she's not resisting the marriage. Tzricha, therefore, I have to tell you that in the case of a woman's reaction of Pnom li'avavicha, that's not the case. That too is an expression on her part of resisting the marriage proposal. Tona Rabbona, Hiskachi li b'mona. And she says, Tnom al gabi sela, put them on the rock. Eino mekudeshes. She's not married. V'imhoya sela shelo, if it's her rock, mekudeshes. She would be married by virtue of the rock functioning as her chotzer. Chotzer, her, literally, her courtyard. We know that a person acquires things not only by their physical bodily receipt of the item, but by the item presented being put in their domain, their property. So that if the rock was hers, and she says, put it on the rock, or in effect, put it on my rock, she would be married. Boy Rav Bevi, Sela Shel Shneim Mahu. What if the rock belongs to the man and the woman? It's a jointly owned rock. Is her reaction an indication of marriage or not? Teku, that remains unresolved. Hiskachi li b'kikar, be married to me, a man proposes to a woman for this loaf. And she says, Tneu le kelev, give it to the dog. Eino mekudeshes, she's not married. V'im hoya kelev shelo mekudeshes. If the dog spoken of is her dog, so she would be married. She's taking advantage of the kikar that she's receiving to feed her dog. So she's accepting it. She's accepting the marriage. Boy Rav Mori, Kelev Rotzachara Mao. Let's say she says, give it to the dog, and the dog in question is a dog that is chasing after her to bite her. Bahu ano de komatzla nafsha mine gomru maknele nafsha. Do we say that in exchange for the sense of relief, the sense of pleasure and relief that she has by the loaf saving her from injury by the dog will turn to the loaf and eat it, and that'll satisfy him and save her from the dog's attack. So in exchange for that sense of relief, she agrees to marriage. Odilma, or maybe she could say to the man offering her the loaf, O Dilma Motzi Omrole, Midoraisa Chiyuve Mechaives La Atsulan. You had to save me anyway. The Torah requires you to save a person in distress. So that even without my instruction, throw it to the dog, you would have had to do so anyway. So my telling you to throw it to the dog in order to save myself, that's not an indication of my agreeing to the marriage. Your throwing it to the dog is something you would have had to do anyway. Teku. So this remains unresolved. Iskachi li b'kikar. Man proposes marriage through a kikar, and she says, Tneu l'oni, give it to the poor man. Eino mekudeshes, she's not thereby married. Afilu oni hasomuch alo, even if it happens to be a poor man that she regularly supports. My taima, why does her instruction to give it to the Oni not amount to her agreeing to marriage? Omrole, she can say to the husband, to the man proposing the marriage, Ki hechi de mechayavno be'ano, just like I'm obligated to support him, Hochi mechayves be'at, you too are obligated to support him. So you're giving the kikar to the Oni, even without my instructing thusly, is simply a fulfillment of an obligation that you have independent of my being here. Hahu Gavra, we have a new marking, and on the side under the Mivne heading, this bow tie marking, of course one of our series markings, represents a Sidra Shel Teguva Seisha B'Loshin Kofel, the Hatzoi's Kedushin. See a number of examples where a man offers marriage and she reacts by doubling the expression or a doubled response. What does that indicate on her part? Is she accepting the terms of the man's marriage offer or not? Halu gavra dehavakom mazvin. We continue at the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Chomrei paski aisa. There was a man who was selling beads, maybe strings of beads. Asoy hahi itza. A woman came along, omrole, and the woman says to the bead salesman, Havli chad shucha, give me one string of beads. Omar lo, I ahivna loch mikshisli, if I give you the string of beads, will you marry me? Omra le, she says, Hava mi hava. Hava means, give it to me. And she said it in this double form. Omar rav chama, kol hava mi hava lav klum hiu. People, women who react in that fashion with the doubled response is nothing, means nothing in terms of marriage. She's basically saying, just give it to me. Forget about the marriage. Hahu gavra, tava koshosi chamra b'chanusa. There was a man drinking wine in a chanusa. Chanusa is refer to it as a bar, a place that people gather to drink beverages, wine. Asoy hahi, so a woman comes along, omro le, she sees the man drinking the wine, and she says, Havli chad kosa, give me a cup. He was, seems from the context that he was pouring himself wine from a bottle, so she says, give me a cup of wine. Omro, omar lo, and he says to her, Iyahivna loch, if I give you a cup of wine, mikdishesli, will you marry me? Omro le, she reacts, Ashkui ashkin, give me a drink. Just that you have the double expression again. Omer Rav Chama, and Rav Chama says, once again, Kol Ashkuye Ashkin Lav Klumhu. The double reaction, the doubling of the expression, doesn't mean anything in terms of marriage. As we said before, it's, hey man, just give me a drink. Hahu Gavro, Davako Shodi Tamri Midikla. There was a man who was throwing dates down from a palm tree. Just picking dates, throwing them down. Asoya, it's a woman comes along, omrole, she says to him, Shodi li tarti, throw in my direction two dates. Omrole, shadin olach, if I throw to you, mikdishesli, will you be married to me? Omrole, shodi mishta. Omrazvid, kol shodi mishta, lav klum hu. It's of no marriage consequence, it's meaningless. The Tosfos, the second Tosfos, says, "Kol Ashkim Shkui V'chulei Hanoch Tlas Uvdi." These three incidents, Itzdirich Lashminin, are necessary. The Bishum Dovar Ein Moyel. In no case does the double expression indicate a marriage. In no case will it be effective. Lo B'mili Dachila Ushtia V'lo B'Shar Mili. Not when it comes to food, drink, nor anything else. The Gemara now asks, up till now we've seen that the double expression indicates non-marriage approval. What about a woman who would have reacted without doubling the expression? Ibayalaho, hav, Ashki v'shadi. The Hav, we saw in the first case with the beads, she said Hava mihava. Let's say she just said Hav. Or in the case with the wine, she just says Ashki. Or in the case of the man throwing the dates, she would have simply said Shadi. Mahu. What does that reflect? Omer Ravina Mikudeshes. Ravina says if she would have said it singularly, she would have been married. Rav Sama Barak Somar. Taga de Malka. Taga de Malka is simply an expression like I swear. Literally, it means by the crown of the king, Eino Mikudeshes. She would not be married. You see successive double underlines. The double underline is one of our series markings, and on the side, under the Mivnet, we indicate Sidra Shel Piske Alocha Al Sugyos Kodmos. Here the Gemara resolves, issues legal rulings concerning a number of topics that we've dealt with recently. So here's a very concise review of Sugyos that we've learned till now. Regarding the last discussion, we had a Machlokas Ravino and Rav Samo. V'hilchasa eino mekudeshes. Even though the expression was presented in the singular, she stated in the singular form, it does not indicate acceptance of the marriage offer. V'hilchasa, this is a throwback to what we had in our previous year. Shiroi lo tzrichi shuma. If a man presents silks, fabric to a woman in exchange for her marriage, so we saw a machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef, does it need a formal assessment in order to establish its value, or is it enough that she sees it has a pruta value, probably worth more, doesn't know exactly how much, that's enough. So the Gemara says that the Shiroi don't need a formal assessment. In other words, the Gemara is ruling like Rabba in that previous sukkah. The Hilchasa Kerebo Lazar. The Rashi on the third line from the top, Hilchasa Kerebo Lazar, Diomar, Hiskachli Bimon of Anasalon Dinar, Harezim Kudeshis Viashlim. This was the opening discussion of today's Shiur, where a man said to a woman, be married to me for a mona, and he gave her partial payment, he gave her a dinar. The marriage is binding immediately, and he simply has to pay the rest later. That's Rebbe Loza's ruling. The Hilchasa, Kirovom Rav Nachman, and we also paskin, we rule like Rovom Rav Nachman regarding the case of a man offering a mona. He didn't have the cash, he gave her security, and Rovom Rav Nachman said, mona ain't kan, she's not receiving the money right now. Therefore, the security that she receives is not of any value, not of any marriage value. As he said, mona ein kan, mashkon ein kan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.